Ladies and gentlemen, this is Space Channel 5555.
Hello and welcome to Three Nerds in a Basement podcast. My name is Anthony. It is the week of September 21st, 2014. And usually this is the podcast where we talk about all the cool things in the world, but we're pretty much only going to be talking about video games this week. And that's because our regular host Vince and my co-host Blavin are actually MIA this week. They had some other things to do. They couldn't make it for the recording. So I'm going to do a short little news show, pretty much all about video game news. So don't expect any toy talk. Don't expect any magic talk. It's going to be mainly about TGS and a couple stories here and there. Without further ado, let's start with the show. On Monday, just after last week's show, a big news story broke. So Mojang, the creators of the famous game Minecraft, for people who don't know, it's a game where you can, it's pretty much, think of it like Lego, but a video game. You get blocks, you mine stuff, you create villages, and there's a lot of advanced stuff like, just it's insane. Just Google it if you don't know. It's kind of crazy if you haven't heard what it is already. They sold the game Minecraft to Microsoft for $2.5 billion, billion with a B, and just that number alone makes a crazy headline. It's a major purchase, not only for Mojang Studios because they're just kind of rolling in it, also for Microsoft. Minecraft is one of the biggest names in gaming right now in both segments. Like, if you want to put it out into like kind of hardcore and in the casual movement, it dominates both areas. It's lightning in a bottle. It's a popular game that I haven't seen this kind of spread since like Super Mario, pretty much. And that, it's just an insane story. So the creator Notch, also known by Marcus Pearson, Pearson, I don't know how to pronounce that. I'll just be totally transparent there. He's been quoted as saying that he's actually happy to sell Minecraft because he's been feeling a lot of stress from just working on the game because it's gotten so big. And he's actually quoted as saying, quote, "If I ever accidentally make something that seems to gain traction, I'll probably abandon it immediately." This is kind of no surprise to people who kind of been following Notch, kind of know it. He's not really happy with the way he's been portrayed in public, not in media, but on Twitter and just stuff like that. And he's more of an indie guy. He likes to create small, fun things. And Minecraft was a small, fun thing. I remember buying it in alpha. That was like before the days of early access that kind of started this whole thing. And it was just a fun little indie game. You could create houses. There were no monsters. It was Lego the game. And it's created into this beast, this massive thing, and it's good for him. He's getting a lot. I see a lot of people on Twitter kind of busting his balls because it's like, oh no, I hope I don't ever make $2.5 billion again. Oh, poor baby. You're not in his shoes. That kind of stuff, you don't know the kind of stress that you have to take to get that kind of a paycheck. It's like, people think of bullying like you gotta have his tough skin, or this guy, he's being a baby. But imagine having those like mean things, or having your image strewed by millions of people across the globe 24/7. It's a hard thing. But I'm glad for Notch. Like, he made this game, he totally deserves the money. And hopefully this allows Mojang to create some way cooler stuff. As for Microsoft, this is just a cash cow. Like, I think that $2.5 billion is fine for them. They probably thought it through, and they're gonna make that back, no problem, I believe. Just the way Minecraft's going, I'm just interested to see how Minecraft will play out now that Microsoft actually owns it. I'm sure there'll be like, they have a lot of skins and stuff, so you can create your character as like, I don't know, different stuff, and you can custom create it. But I'm sure they're gonna be like, oh look, here's like a Halo skin and stuff. But I really want to see where Minecraft now evolves from here, because people really like this game. I don't think Microsoft will mess it up, but I think they'll be able to take it in more interesting ways, or at least a different way. I'll say that. That's really the only non-Tokyo Game Show related story. So we're just gonna get into Tokyo Game Show now. So the Tokyo Game Show is held every year, obviously, in Tokyo, and it's kind of my favorite game show because I'm a bigger fan of Japanese games. They're weirder, they're more unique in my opinion, and they just have like crazy concepts that a lot of people don't really think of here in the West. There were some really, really big announcements. So Final Fantasy 15, the latest game in the Final Fantasy franchise, has came out with a really cool trailer showing gameplay. Vince and I were joking about it on Twitter. It looks like a Final Fantasy road trip game. It's kind of weird because you're driving around with your four party members. You're just kind of all bros hanging out in a car, going across country. That's what it looks like, to be honest. Going across country, slaying monsters. It's like you just graduated university or something. It looks really good, and the gameplay is more focused on action. There's no turn-based. It's more in the vein of Final Fantasy 13, the way it's all active time battled. Everything's very fluid, and I haven't seen any people picking actions. It seems a lot more character action based, but mixed with RPG, and that seems really cool. And there's a lot of contextual stuff, sorry, that is in the game, like being near certain party members does certain makes certain actions available, a lot of team attacks, and the main character has the ability to throw these like spirit swords and then teleport to them. And there's really cool scenes of him just like chucking a sword across a huge gap, a huge chasm, and just teleporting to the other side, fighting a bunch of guys. It looks really, really cool. And with that, also, it turns out that Final Fantasy Type Zero, which was a PSP Final Fantasy game, is coming to the West in 2015 as an HD re-release on the PS4. Also, with that the one big thing is that it's going to have a Final Fantasy 15 demo. This will allow us to play the game, check it out, just see where it is in early development because there actually hasn't been a release date yet. And I shouldn't say early development. This game's been announced like so long ago, as it used to be Final Fantasy Versus 13 when 13 first came out. And so that was years ago. It's been a long time. I'm actually happy to see that this game is being made and not just kind of thrown away, or it was like a fancy idea, because I want to play Versus 13 way more than I wanted to play 13. And I kind of still want to play 15, even though I played all the 13 games more, because I only thought the only good one of those games was 13 too, and Lightning Returns is garbage. Let's keep on the Square Enix train. On the Square keeping with Square Enix, they announced a new thing called Shinra Technologies. Shinra is a callback to Final Fantasy VII. It was the company in Final Fantasy VII. They were like kind of the big evil company they had to fight against, but they're using Shinra Technologies as a name for their new cloud service and cloud gaming. So if you don't know, cloud gaming is the it's a theoretic version of that. You could stream a game just like you stream movies from the cloud, just like you store videos on the cloud and stuff like that. You'd be able to stream games from the cloud. There'd be some sort of gaming farm out somewhere, and they would have all the hardware and all the stuff that you need to play. And then you'd be able to stream a game and play it just through your TV. Like, you wouldn't need a console, you wouldn't need a PC. In theory, it's cool. Cloud gaming is really something that's always interested me. It's just that nothing really has done it well. Even in just in Canada alone, like, I don't think we have the internet to even support that kind of thing. Just because our plans are kind of garbage in comparison to the States. I can see places like Korea doing it, places like Japan who just have like top of the line internet, but I don't know. If it's coming to North America, I don't think it'll be anytime soon. The head of Square Enix says that he sees 2016 to be a key year for cloud gaming. Just in terms of technology advancements, by 2016 he feels that there'll be enough enough power or enough bandwidth, I guess, to be able to make this happen. But it's kind of just a cool little news story. It's nothing really crazy. If you haven't seen the Final Fantasy 15 trailer, I really recommend go checking it out. But that's pretty much it for Square Enix. A lot of Final Fantasy, not a lot of their announcements, at least that I've seen. I've kind of been scoping it out all weekend. So we're gonna move from Square Enix. We're gonna go on to Capcom, their favorite franchise to bring up again and again and again is Street Fighter. I think there's like four releases now, and in a new patch they're bringing out, they're actually bringing out a free game mode called Omega Mode. And this game mode is, they've said, is based more on having fun rather than it actually being balanced at all. They're taking all the characters and just like shooting them up with steroids. They all have different moves, different normals. A lot of their properties have changed, and they're just making them really fast and really fun. It's not a mode to be taken seriously at all. If people have ever played the BlazBlue games, you might want to think of the unlimited versions of characters where they all have like crazy effects and they're all broken in their own way. It's going to be very similar to that. Capcom has released a video. It's pretty in-depth about Mo Omega Mode, showing a lot of different characters, showing Guile, Ken, Chun-Li, Dhalsim. And it looks fun. It's more reason to play Street Fighter, and that's really fun. Lately I've been trying to get back into it, but when you don't have people to play with, it feels kind of stale. This Omega Mode seems like something I can bring. I like when people come over, people can play this now. Instead of being like, oh, I don't want to face this guy because he's really good, or actually, yeah, that's it. That's actually kind of what happens at parties. Is like, I don't want to play Anthony. He's good at it. I'm like, damn, why doesn't anybody also take fighting games seriously? But this looks like a lot of fun. There'll be a video in the show notes. All the news stories actually will be in the show notes on typev3.podbean.com, so you'll be able to check it out. Nothing more to talk about with Street Fighter. We're gonna move over to another game I really like. It's kind of a niche game. It's called Earth Defense Force. And Earth Defense Force, if you want to think of it in any way, is it's a really good B monster movie, like B movie monster movie kind of thing, where you fight giant ants, giant insects, robots, as a grunt in the Earth Defense Force, and you have to save Japan from ultimate destruction. These games are usually fun because you're just fighting off waves and waves of big enemies. You get all kinds of crazy different weapons. And in this new one, it's actually for Xbox One and PS4. Oh, scratch that. It's actually only for PS4 right here in this article. It's the first step towards current gen. And usually, it's kind of a weird choice because usually these games are, they know they're not the best. And the reason you love them is because of their flaws. Their flaws aren't crazy enough that you don't want to play it. They're really fun little things. Kind of like, again, like you'd like a B movie. Like they're silly. They take you somewhere where a AAA game or a AAA movie can't take you. And it just seems like a lot of fun. They're adding giant mechs. Kind of, I guess maybe they saw that Pacific Rim was a big deal. So you're gonna be able to pilot giant mechs for the first time, fight Godzilla type monsters. In the screenshots they've actually released, like you kind of just straight up a fight a blue glowing Godzilla type character, and you duke it out just by punching each other in the face, and it just looks really silly and really fun. Keep your eyes on that if you kind of just want something like a mindless game to just kind of veg out on. Moving on from there. We have the Yakuza series. The Yakuza series is another niche title that I absolutely love. And it's probably never coming out here anymore. So they released Yakuza 4 was the last one. Sales weren't so great. And then they decided to bring over a side game called Yakuza Dead Souls. That was a zombie game that was just horrendous. And they're like, oh no. Why didn't anybody buy this bad game? I guess we'll never bring out the good ones. And it's really frustrating to Yakuza fans to see Sega just be like, but we gave you this one, this bad one, and no one bought it, except of the ones that you guys want, which are the main series games. But Yakuza Zero is a flashback before Yakuza One. It follows the main character, Kazuma Kiryu, in his just up-and-coming days as a Yakuza, shaking down storefronts, being a mobster. The whole trailer, though, is in Japanese with no subs, so I don't really know what's going on. But from what I gather from comments and stuff like that, that's what seems to be doing. The game looks really good. Young Kazuma is still kicking ass, taking names, and it's showing the backstory of where these characters were before they were big Yakuza heads. And it's just so heartbreaking to never see that here, because Sega just won't bring it out. Sega, please, you're killing me. Moving on from that sadness, we have Bloodborne. Bloodborne actually has shown gameplay at, I believe it was Gamescom. So kind of seen a lot of it already. There's some new gameplay, and actually there is a North American release date finally. The Bloodborne is going to be coming out on February 6, 2015. This game still looks a lot like Dark Souls slash Demon Souls, and it's not a surprise because it is a From Software game. And I don't know what to say more about it other than it still looks good. If you listen to the Gamescom podcast, like, you hear all my opinions there. It's a lot faster paced. It's weird that there's no healing items, at least that I've seen. You heal based on killing enemies, so it kind of rewards you for being aggro, or maybe it's just strategically beating your enemies. Yeah, it looks good, man. February 6th, keep a lookout. It's gonna be some good stuff. Then I guess the final big announcements from TGS is Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, is coming out. It's just said sometime during 2015, so that's not really an announcement. We kind of figured it was going to be next year already, but I would have liked to see at least a month or maybe like a quarter. Like, it's going to come out in Q2, or it's going to come out in the spring, like something like that would have been good. But they had a big, huge 20-minute gameplay demo, and people have just been dissecting this thing like crazy. There's actually an article on Poly, or is it Polygon? I'll find it. It'll be in the show notes, where the author is actually a like he is an enthusiast climber, and he was saying that how they get all these minute details right about climbing, using different parts of your body as leverage instead of like the Nathan Drake style where you kind of just jump forever and you don't really have to worry about it. You just use your arms to pull yourself up anywhere, right? You kind of have infinite stamina. And just little things like that. And that's what Metal Gear is known for. They're known for their really oddly serious attention to detail in certain things. In the gameplay, it shows the open world aspects. You have the Fulton recovery system, which was kind of, this is bring back all the way from Portable Ops, or was it Portable Ops, or one of the PSP games, where you can actually recruit people to your personal army, Outer Heaven. So you can find enemies in the battlefield. If you trank them or knock them out lethally, or is it not, lethally, trank, sleep, choke, stun, you can move them back to your base, and you can train them as soldiers to grow in your ranks. You can get better weapons, better equipment, and stuff like that. In this big gameplay demo, you're playing alongside Quiet, who is, I believe she's a mute sniper. And you can use her as a companion. There's these different companion characters. So with Quiet, she's able to scout ahead for you as a sniper, keep in the shadows, tag enemies for you so you know where you're just not going in blind. And also, if you needed just backup support, there's some just silly stuff where Quiet was standing right beside Snake, and to get to an area, she just kind of Superman jumped from where she was to the top of a mountain. That was kind of insane. But again, not out of the norm for Metal Gear. With Big Boss, you have a prosthetic arm, which is actually not prosthetic, it's a robot arm. And you can do different gadgets with it. Like, one of them was a stun arm, so while he's walking up behind an enemy, he's charging up his arm, and when he touched him on the shoulder, it sent a electric shock through his body, stunned him, just silently incapacitated his opponent. And it's really cool to see the open world aspect in a stealth game. This open world's a big thing now. They're not, but usually it's like run and gun, blow stuff up. Even Far Cry 3 had it like stealth elements, but they weren't the best. It was still mainly a run and gun thing. Like if you got spotted, it wasn't the end of the world. This seems like it's gonna be a lot of fun. Enemies are gonna be working together, and you really gotta work on being stealthy, using your surroundings, and maybe scouting out areas before you actually go into, say, a village. Like you gotta rescue this hostage. You want to do some scouting beforehand, see where everything is, what kind of enemies they have, and they bring some of this up in Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes for the PS4, where there are different enemy patrol routes, and if you study it, you'll know where these guys are going, where these guys walk, what are the heavily guarded areas, and you'll be able to devise a plan from that kind of information. And it's a lot different from where Metal Gear has been, which is usually corridors after corridors and enemies walking in a straight line, just mindlessly patrolling. It's a cool break, and just, but it's still weird to see how dark Kojima is going with the story. He's really playing with the thought of child soldiers, just war crimes, and just really dark stuff people usually don't want to think about. But then you have really dumb stuff like I get changed in a cardboard box to get all my weapons, or I have a sniper who is dressed in a bikini top who can jump onto mountains. Just little stuff like that. I was kind of hoping for maybe a little bit more serious game, but a lot of the quirks are still there. Might have been a bummer to play like 15 to 20 hours of a war crime simulator, but that's just me. The other just crazy, insane news story was that other than Quiet, there is an optional companion called Dee Dee. He is the Diamond Dog, and he's Snake's best friend. You get a dog as a companion, and just to top it off, he has his own eye patch, just like Big Boss, which is crazy. They don't show him in any gameplay, they just kind of show him in a cutscene trailer. And yo, that looks cool. If I can have a dog as a best friend, hopefully it's not like a Fable thing where your dog is your best companion and he'll die at the end or something, but this silliness is just kind of throwing me for a loop in Metal Gear. Really hoping to see where Kojima takes us. And with that is the end of the show. It is a short show this week. I'm not really going to go into my week. Kind of boring to just talk about what I've been doing by myself, so I'm going to leave that for next week. Just a lot of games and stuff. So hopefully you've enjoyed this short solo episode. If you want, again, if you want to check out any of the news stories I talked about, check out some trailers and maybe get a little more in depth onto some stuff I might have skimmed over, check out the show notes on typev3.podbean.com. In the podcast post, there will be links to all the things I just talked about. You can also email us at type, not typev3. Bleh, I know the email. Why did I mess up? It's tniab.letters@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. We post our podcasts on type V3. You'll also see Vince's toy reviews there. What else is there? Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. I'm Kilroy Can't Kill. Vince is Vincent Sanchez. And Blaven is Blaven Blave. I think that's all the social media jazz. So yeah, check us out on the website. And have a good week, everybody. Just look forward to a full show next week. Bye.